Good morning. Welcome. We're in the last Sunday of the Easter season. And a few times a year I get asked, how do we decide what to preach on at Vox? And the simple answer is the lectionary, which is kind of this system or group that kind of says, here's some scriptures for this Sunday. Why don't you pick one? So then we usually look at those scriptures and pray and kind of pick one. And what's interesting, though, is when I read a scripture, I'm like, oh, man, I'm really bad at that. And then I kind of know I should probably preach on that, which is probably just my brain being a little miswired. So our topic today, though, something I don't feel really great at, but it raises the question of how do we choose to focus on what we have in common and connect rather than focusing on what's dissimilar and splintering at times. And a little story, which is why I knew I needed to preach on this today. I was in a process group of about 20 people a couple weeks ago, and the person facilitating the group said, hey, we're going to play a game. And I thought, oh, no. Kill me now. No, didn't. But they were like, get into groups of three. And my anxiety is just kind of going up. And one person will be the sharer. And then they said, you know, raise your hand. And obviously I passed on that one. And then another will be the discerner who asked distinguishing questions like, oh, I could do that. And then as I started to raise my hand, one of the other people in my group raised their hand, which left only the third job, which was to be the resonator, which I didn't know what that meant. But internally, I was like, dear God, no, please. But that was all that was left. So the resonator, I was informed, will be the one to imagine what it feels like to have the experience being shared and connect with that person out of that place. So the person, our sharer shared and our discerner discerned. And I kind of just sat and listened to the person sharing about their resistance to this game and how stupid they thought it was. And I was like, oh, this is easy. And then they started to share how awkward it felt and not being able to believe that if they actually shared what they were thinking, that we would not be able to accept them. And I thought, oh, and I didn't have to do a lot. I just said, I'm with you. Like, I get that. That makes sense. And then I said, did I resonate? They said, yeah, you did great. So starting off, I want to ask that question. Are you more of a discerner or a resonator? Do you, when someone's sharing with you, do you kind of look for maybe things you don't agree with or problems with what they're saying or kind of like, not me? Do you kind of distance yourself? Or do you find yourself trying to relate when you listen? And I want to suggest both are important. So take this question and do I tend to merge or distance myself from others' thoughts and emotions? And if you're comfortable, share with someone sitting next to you. What do you find yourself doing more? And you can elaborate for a minute if you like. Okay, this is great. I didn't think we'd get much interaction, but I'm loving it. Cool. This is still great. So start to slowly wind it down. Just slowly, take your time. And a natural segue. Get that last sentence or two in. Awesome. Okay. Sorry, I also noticed, I looked back and it looks like the coffee's blue. That's not the coffee, is it? No. Okay. I was making sure. I was like, that's different. So who finds himself primarily discerning when someone like starts talking to them? What's your kind of default? Do we have any kind of just out of the gate discerners? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but okay. All right, cool. How about resonate? What's like your first thing when someone starts sharing, you start to kind of like get into what they're sharing? Feel like raising your hand? Got some resonators? Okay. All right. We're not all participating, that's fine. So I can't really tell. It's all good. You had an experience, that's what matters. So one of the ways, though, I think about unity and what Jesus is getting at is through the idea of resonance. And my favorite definition of resonance is that it's the quality in a sound of being deep, full, and reverberating. Isn't that a great word? I just love that. So I'm going to reread the first half of our passage today with this idea of being with one another in a deep, full, and reverberating way. And as we do, I think we're going to begin to see how we're invited to resonate with ourselves and one another. So this is Jesus' prayer for his friends and for the world at large. He said, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be in resonance. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be in resonance as we are in resonance, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely resonant, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me." So just a couple things. There's this idea of oneness or resonance throughout. And this is a deep prayer or longing of Jesus that we would be in resonance with each other in the way that God is resonating with us, so that we may believe, or a better word for us now is trust, is kind of what it's getting at. Or when I think of trust now, I think of kind of beginning to relax into a bigger story. Like when you can trust something, you can begin to relax. So another way to think of what he's saying is, may we practice resonance so that we can also relax into a bigger story together. It's kind of cool. So both resonance and dissonance, or differentiation, are necessary for life-fostering relationships. And I want to kind of start off just by saying, we all have experienced, I think, the problems of resonance without healthy dissonance or differentiation. So I want to just nuance the terms just a little today. So there is a false resonance, right, which collapses our meaningful, and I have a cool little chart here, made myself. No, it's not hard. Yeah. And it collapses our meaningful differences and creates a forced oneness or sameness. Like, oh, I know exactly how you feel about being oppressed, because one day someone cut in front of me in line and I was so angry. No, you don't understand. It allows us, false resonance allows us to flatten and conflate pain differences in ways that don't honor the uniqueness of our experiences, allowing people to respond to the necessary reminder of Black Lives Matter, Brown Lives Matter, with a statement like, "All lives matter." This is false resonance. Yes, we all matter, and yet spoken in response to unique pain, I have to ask, why is it hard to acknowledge that though there is human pain, not all human pain is the same? Each pain needs to be honored uniquely, given its own space as God does. Without acknowledging each pain has a context that is valid and different, we gloss over it and it largely remains unhealed. So what in me keeps me from acknowledging that there are things about your pain and experience I will never fully understand, partly because I am part of a system that privileges me through my ignorance to those differences, rewards me as a white, straight male for asleepness? Okay, I know this is a sermon about unity. I get it. But it's not a sermon about false resonance. And false resonance is necessary to maintain oppression. You feel me? So the other place we can go, though, is in reaction to false resonance, we swing all the way to a false dissonance. And this is the elevation of our differences to the point that no bridge of connection can be formed. This happens when I become convinced that unless you have the exact kind of injury or experience I have had, then we cannot relate and there is no point in trying. This is where bridges of connection are sometimes prematurely burned. When false resonance happens and our experiences are minimized, false resonance, sorry, and I'm using a lot of words, it's going to get to a point, I promise, just hang in there. When false resonance happens and our experiences are minimized and flattened, it is natural to swing to the other end of the spectrum, and probably necessary for a time. Yet we see over time a false dissonance, It leaves no room for resonance. You following? Creates other problems, such as tribal resonance, right? We can create rarefied subcultures that create an us and a them. And the church and organized religion have been devastatingly good at this, right? It's like saying to dominant culture, okay, since you're creating an us and them and won't admit it, I'll see your binary and I'll raise you a new, more rigid binary. I'm winning, right? Of course, then you become part of the machine when you do that, right? Perhaps this is a necessary response at first, though. But if that's all we do, then we miss the possibility Jesus is pointing to of finding a resonance with God and self and others that begins to break the invisible structures that erode dignity and beauty. True resonance brings connection and dissolves oppressive power. Any binary we camp out in insulates our pain from re-injury, but it also insulates us from deeper healing. So I came across a really great example, and it took a really long time to curate a clip that was appropriate, but I think with Marcos and Jenna's help, we have done it. So there was a really great documentary of a TV show that failed really badly a few years back. It had so much promise, but it tanked because the creators had no resonance with their audience. They were so resonating with themselves that they lost touch, if that makes sense. So maybe you've seen it. The documentary is called Too Funny to Fail, The Life and Death of the Dana Carvey Show, which I just call Trainwreck and Tribal Resonance. It was a bunch of young comedians who got together. Some have fallen from grace. And created a show that so resonated with their personal taste in comedy to the exclusion of everyone else, like literally. So we're going to take this look at this clip about the first sketch of the first episode that they chose to leave with. And I'm not going to show the sketch because it's not appropriate, but you can look online and it's worth watching. So take a look.
Taco Bell thought it was really funny. They had no problem with their name being associated with Bill Clinton breastfeeding kittens.
We had that conversation that networks are supposed to have, which is the, well, do you let the creative people do what they do for a living, or do you tell them as the network because you're paying the bills? No, we are not doing that.
We hope that the audience embraces it and is ready for this kind of thing. This show is for those sleepy little baby boomers who have little kids now and can't stay up, who really want counterculture humor. Well, you've got it now, mister. Thank you.
There was a sort of feeling of, no, we're right and you're wrong. And you'll see after we do this that people are going to love this and this is the right way to go.
The night of the premiere, we watched it like at a restaurant bar with the cast and crew, and they're showing it like a film premiere. We're the greatest ever, you know, all happy, singing and dancing. I'm doing square dancing with Steve Carell.
I didn't know there was any scuttlebutt in terms of the choice to lead off with it. I thought it was hilarious.
You know, I remember Robert and Louie just hugging and crying and stuff, just the kind of the show they wanted to do. And
Louie was like, you know what I really like about this breastfeeding thing? It's like we're drawing a line in the sand right away. You're either with us or you're not with us. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. It was the absolute last thing we should have done was draw a line in the sand. Something like 6 million people deserted the show within the first, I don't know, 5 minutes.
In retrospect, it's kind of remarkable that we got so many people to do the same thing all over the country at exactly the same time. I think that might be the legacy of the show. It's just 6 million people like that.
I bought a VCR just for the Dana Carvey show. You just kind of knew, like, wow, this speaks so to me and my taste is so marginal that there's no way it's going to last. And so you had to tape it, you know, before it disappeared.
And it did. Before even finishing one season. Because they kept, like, doubling down each session, each show after that. They're like, no, we're going to prove it. So I think there's lots of reasons why we stop resonating with one another in a true way. I think when we experience pain or trauma, when we experience exclusion, and yet our healing comes when we gather our courage and start again. So, oh, I want us to play a game. I know, so sorry. And I want us to practice resonance for just a moment this morning. And you can totally opt out, okay? So what we're going to do is practice resonating with ourselves and another person. And if you totally don't want to do it in a minute, someone turns to you, just say, "I'd rather not, thank you." And that's fine, okay? Practice healthy dissonance. So what we're going to do is just take a minute to tune into how you're feeling, and I'll kind of guide you through that. And then you're going to have selected someone to share with and listen. And so you're going to share with them briefly and then have them just offer simple resonance with you, okay? So that's what we're going to do. So take a minute and see if the person around you is savvy for this. And if you don't want to do it, you can kind of keep tuning in with yourself, okay? So that's an option. So check in, see if someone's game. And it really needs to be okay if they're not up for it. So just if you'd rather not, say, "I'd rather not to." So take a minute, see if you have a willing partner. So identify who's the sharer and who's the resonator real quick. So just sharer, resonator. You got it? Okay. All right, so we're good? We're having fun? It's getting warm? Okay, so what I want you to do, if you're the sharer, if you're the listener, in just a sec, they're going to ask you, what's it like to be you right now? And then what's that like? And they're going to ask you just two or three times, and then just share with them what comes up. There's no wrong answer, okay? Like, this is stupid, I don't like, you know, whatever it is. And then they're just going to in a short statement, acknowledge, with or without words, what they imagine you're feeling, okay? So listener says, "What's it like to be you?" a couple times. You check in and you share, and then they resonate. Got it? Okay, so go ahead and take a minute, and go ahead and go for it. And I should have mentioned, if you're not doing the exercise, just stay with the question, "What's it like to be me now? What's that like?" Okay? All right. So I want everybody to take a deep breath. And take another deep breath. It's hard to breathe when you talk, but just kidding. Cool. Okay. I like that we're so engaged. This is good. So if you didn't hear me, if you're not pairing with someone, just stay with that question. Keep resonating with yourself. What's it like to be me right now? And what's that like? What's that like? So just stay with that question if you're not sharing with someone. Okay. So take a deep breath, and now you're going to switch. And the person who is listening will become the sharer. The listener is going to ask you, "What's it like to be you right now?" And don't necessarily share a story. Just share whatever thought or emotion comes up. Okay? I forgot to add that. Ready? Go. Okay. So this was either your favorite thing we've done or the worst thing we've ever done. So it's okay. It's okay if you hated this. It's okay if you loved it. So let's take another deep breath together. Another deep breath. How was that? Who enjoyed being asked who enjoyed sharing? Did anybody really like that? Did you notice anything? Okay. What did you notice? Was it hard? Yeah. You feel selfish. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What else? Who enjoyed listening and kind of trying to resonate? Yeah. What did you notice when you tried to resonate? It's hard. Yeah. What else? Uh-huh. Totally. I'm resonating. I don't know what we're doing, but we're resonating. Yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah. Just through eye contact, a lot of times we can let someone know I'm with you. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, easy to slip into problem solving? Totally, totally, yeah. Yeah, and usually if you're the one who shared, most of us, unless we ask for that, start to feel like we're not being resonated with, right? Like somehow what I'm feeling is a problem for you to be solved. Or so I do it too. I'm not beating up on you. Yeah, yeah. So Jesus seemed to think that when we experience oneness with self and other, that there's something of the divine in that. So perhaps, and this is our second point, the resonance transmits God's essence. He says, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them." This is his prayer. "So that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given to me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The world doesn't know you, but I know you, and I know them. So we will all know this together through our intimacy. And what do we get to know? If you want to back up to the first slide of the scripture, the first thing we get to receive is glory, which is kind of an interesting word. It's not actually about vanity. It's actually about receiving intrinsic value or worthiness. So in resonance, we actually experience our worthiness of love. Like Jesus says, he's given us the intrinsic worthiness that he has received. So even when our life isn't that great, which for me is most of the time, God sees me, you, us as worthwhile. That nothing we do or don't do can add or take away from that. It's kind of a relief if we really let that in. Like we're in this resonance being given this sense that you have intrinsic value that nobody can take from you. Nothing can take from you. And he does this so that the world may know that you have sent me and love them. This is the second thing that we receive in resonance with God. It's a deep knowing without how we know, without knowing how we know that we were loved in this way, that Jesus was loved with God. It says before the foundation of the world or cosmos. So it's before the universe, like you were loved. When we resonate, there's a transmission. If that transmission from our caregivers was mostly love, then I think it's probably not that hard to receive God in this way. But sometimes the transmission is pain and trauma early on. All of us have some, right? No parents are perfect, sorry. Can let go of that. Parents, you know, you're going to mess your kids up. It's okay. Like, don't try to mess them up, but it'll happen. And if we have a lot of pain and trauma in our early experience, if that was the transmission that happened when we resonated, then we learn that resonating is dangerous. Yet it's also the way that value and love are transmitted. Like you can't cognitively get there. It happens in relational emotional resonance. Our brains can change over time in this kind of resonance as we heal, but it takes time and practicing. Do you know how fast our brains change? Like we talk a lot about our brains are like made of neuroplasticity or neuroplastic or something. Like they transform at one, a neuron grows 1 millimeter per month. Like that's how fast they grow. So I started thinking this week, what is patience with 1 millimeter a month? Can you see a millimeter? Can you do that? It's almost where your fingers touch. What would 1 millimeter a month of spiritual and personal growth look like? Probably like what it does now, right? Not that impressive. But it's happening. Like it's happening. And I think it's vital that we realize this oneness Jesus is speaking of is a oneness with the whole world, the cosmos, the universe. And that includes the earth. So deep resonance with other people will include a deepening resonance with the land and our food source and other creatures among us. Anybody seen The Biggest Little Farm yet? Anyone? Okay. It's really good. So we're going to watch the trailer and then everybody will go watch it this afternoon maybe. But it's about people attempting to resonate with the earth in a sustainable way. Let's take a look.
This all started with a promise that we'd leave the big city and build a life in perfect harmony with nature. Like a traditional farm from the past.
Here we are, Apricot Lane Farms.
Molly and John are very happy about this.
What do you think of this, Todd?
This is what we're fighting.
Our version of a farm would be different. Plants, wildlife, livestock, all working together.
Here they are, Emma the pig and Mr. Greasy the rooster. Friends for life.
We wanted to believe that everything had a purpose. We had our plan. And nature had hers.
This feels overwhelming.
But even the pests have a role to play. And these are the opportunities that fuel our farm. They told us we were crazy. And sometimes they were right.
Breaking news in California. 6 major wildfires.
I can see a lot of smoke.
We're starting to face new problems.
We'll knock that fever down and then just pray.
We just don't have answers for it.
No.
I hung my heart out to dry.
Our land reawakened.
On rooftops. This is a large chicken egg.
Saw things that we had never seen before.
Have you washed your hands, John?
The hardships we face make the dream itself feel so much more alive.
All right. It's a great show, actually. But something happens in us. Something comes alive in us when we start to actually practice this resounding way of being together, of being with the place that we're in, right? So I hope I haven't made the idea of unity too complex yet. Maybe it's the sermon's still about unity a little bit, like a fractal unity. But my sense is that the way into a life of resonance is deeply supported by Jesus' assumption that we are also resonating with God at the same time in our moments of true resonance with ourselves and others. But this isn't like a forced thing we need to add to our already overfilled lives. It's a noticing that somehow and in some way we cannot explain, our lives have been reverberating with a deep fullness we often live with no awareness of. So I want to close with a story and a much less awkward experience. So this same group I was a part of a few weeks ago, I was trying to practice resonance and imagining what each person was feeling while they were feeling it. And then I heard this young guy share about feeling misunderstood and how everybody kind of sees him as like a bro and a dude. And he said, actually, I'm really sensitive though, and I often feel misunderstood. And I kind of play into that sometimes too. But in that group, like he claimed, like, hey, I'm actually a sensitive dude or sensitive bro or something. I can't remember how he said it. And I was like so with him, like in this moment. And then someone in the group kind of just, I guess because you could do this in the group, I didn't know, just said, hey, I wonder what you're feeling, Jason, or what's going on for you? They like called me out. And I was like immediately flooded with this empathy and compassion for this guy I didn't really know, to the point where I couldn't even speak. And I was like, love? Like, I mean, like admiration. Like I'm just like fishing for words. I was like, please move on. Stop looking at me. But I began to imagine like, what if God resonating with us is kind of like this, that God is somehow attuned to us and kind of vibrating in the same spectrum that we're in, that we're on. How can we come in contact with that as Jesus did? So this is kind of our last practice. This will be much less awkward than the other one. Or if you loved it, it might be less enjoyable too. But we're going to just close with kind of a meditation, just practicing resonating with God and kind of explore the question together. What is God feeling toward me right now? Okay. So if you want, I'll invite you to close your eyes. You can keep them open if you don't want to close them, but it might help. And I want you just, without effort, start to notice your breath today. Just stay with it, though. Don't try to change it. Don't try to deepen it. Just begin to notice the rise and the fall. And try to notice it without judgment, if it's shallow or fast. If you're holding it, imagine God is present with us this morning in a very respectful way, as close as our breath, that lives and moves on its own. Become aware that every part of you is being accepted today, right where we are. Without qualification, without hesitation. Breathe in that acceptance again without effort. Just let it slowly fill you. There's a patient longing today with God that we feel true connection. I imagine a gentle knowing smile, a deep belonging to one another, that we are not trapped in the story of aloneness. And this gentle, respectful presence is understanding about how we get cut off and have such a hard time finding our way home. Yet home is here today in a way that expects nothing of us. There is a spacious nearness within God's presence right now. What else is God feeling with you this morning? Maybe it's compassion for something difficult. Maybe God's saying, oh, I understand, I get it. Maybe God's resonating with acceptance. I got you. Or excitement. Maybe something great is happening. And God's like, I see your joy, I love it. Maybe God's dancing with you. Or grief. Maybe the resonance with God is, yeah, I get it. And I won't leave you to face this loss alone. I don't need you to be any different than where you are today. Maybe it's peace. Let's just breathe together. Let's take a minute. Just take a pause from all the tension and the stress and just breathe. Maybe there's a sadness that God is resonating with. I imagine a lot of times God's just like, you know, yeah, life just sucks sometimes. You don't have to like it. Like, I'm with you. And maybe there's a resonance of love. You're so worthy and easy to love. You're not too much. And I'm so sorry for any voice that ever told you otherwise. Loved, loved, you're loved. Just resonate with God being with you today in just the way we'd hoped was possible, but somehow knew was too good to be true. Until we began to know in a deeper way. Again, following your breath, accepting what it is today. And I'll invite us to stay in this silence as we move into the next part of our liturgy.